Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. At times people get confused by reading their spiritual conditions through the inner inhibitions and feelings. So if I feel spiritually high, then I will say my iman is very good. And if I don't feel that high, then I say my iman is weak. So that's not the right reading. The feeling, judging or deciding upon feelings is not right. Feelings can come about in many ways. There was one person I knew from school days, you know. It was a long time, about 35, 40 years ago. So people were telling me that he's on some drug, cannabis, dakha, ganja, jump, all same thing. So try and explain to him. So I know him from school, and if I train directly, he may just reject, just go in denial. So I have to approach him in a different way. So I think, you know, I need that stuff, man. You don't need it. Well, next another day for you. So I asked him, why do you take this thing? He said, well, his family was from a wealthy background. So they want the yard to be clean, grass, etc. So I must hire someone for the day, that's, you know, 40 years now. 25, 30 rand, big money, and get someone to clean. So I give me that money, so he'll take one of that, whatever, and he'll clean better than that boy. He feels so high. So that feeling of high is not the criterion. We feel, you know, like that feeling of high. Rather, the criterion, then that was an easy way to get the feeling. So the right thing is just work. And don't get yourself confused by feelings. Feeling comes, mashallah, very good. It didn't come, none of those things. So the idea is to adhere to the sunnah. The idea is not to go through feelings, dreams, some supernatural thing. No, that's not the idea. Therefore the ulama say that your whole life you didn't have anything, but you adhere to the sunnah, then you are a winner. And the other person had a lot of experience and dreams and whatever, but he was far away from the sunnah, then he's a loser. But he saw so many things, so many experiences he went through. So the experience is not the criteria, not the gauge. The gauge is the sunnah. Muhaddis Abdul Haq Dehlavi Rahmatali, his kitabs are in the madrasa, Ashiyatul Lamad, etc. So he comes around the 10th century, amongst the leading muhaddisin of India. We need to understand that in the last 3-4 centuries, India had produced one of the best muhaddisin. Even the Arabs are shocked, how did they accomplish this thing? They saw Alau Sunan, they can't get over it. They saw Ujaz al-Masalik, so they No Arab prepares something like this. They saw Al-Kawkab al-Durri. Say, you sure you did it? So they were really, really shocked and amazed. So last 3-4 centuries, the amount of work that was done on hadith. I say this because nowadays it's easy to say that this is just a style of the Hindi Chindi. Run the Indian down, you know, look at the work that he's done and show something similar, something close to that. One Arab is confiding in me. I was in Koka Bazaar, Bombay Markaz. So the students wanted to take a walk after Fajr. So this Arab is a businessman. Now he came and said, no, can I join you? I said, yeah. Then he tells me, no, I can't divulge this amongst my people, but it's a fact that any department of Dini Khidmat, it was spearheaded by the Indian and nobody could cope with him. But he's telling me, look at hadith and the khidmat they have rendered, nobody could do. Look at Tabligh Jamaat, what they did, nobody could do. Right? The line of tasawuf, how much they had excelled, nobody could excel. Right? In madaris, establishing and running madrasas throughout the world, and it's only theirs that's running. So we need to acknowledge where acknowledgement you deserve to give an acknowledgement. Just to run it down, not right. Some many years ago, an ex-student, he brought an Arab sheikh to the house. So the Arab sheikh speaks about the Indian running him down, that you'll do shirk. So where's the shirk? So no, you'll do ta'weez. It's alright. So I told him, see, I was in your airport, right? And I saw the photos, all the kings, the crown prince, and the ex-kings, all. So, is that right? The past nations went into idolatry with images and pictures. So is that not very, very close to shirk? So he said, no, it's just a showpiece. No such a thing. It's all right. If it's a showpiece, if you've got the heart, one day just take a stone and throw it on that and see what happens. Straight away put into prison. Straight away. They're putting it up there to capture a heart with respect for them. And from respect, you honor and then you worship. So are you talking about the Hindi Chindi? The Taweez they do only contains verse of the Quran or some dua from the Hadith. So what's wrong in that? Because we don't encourage it, then we do it. But someone now, he insists, he wants it, so some ulama will write it down and give it to him. Well, now you see the shirk that you are involved in. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that the khidmat they have done has to be acknowledged. To just ignore it and sideline it and not think much of them, really it's a disservice. Show me any other country, any Arab country, show me one who have madrasas running right through that are successful and prosperous. There may be some Egyptian, but he himself is just an employed person, is carrying out a duty, no beard, trousers below the ankle, not worried about the community, mixing freely with women, and that's his life. Assuming one group, one country, that's running And it was so well established madrasas showing products, results, etc. You can't show it. So unnecessary to run them down and discredit them, it is not right. I told that person in Koka Baza is a pure Arab, and he tells me that he's ignorant. He's divulged, he says, I can't say it for my own people, but it's an acknowledgement. One of the reasons why the Indian ulama progressed is the Arabs, etc., they felt we belong to Muslim countries. So they became complacent. It's an Islamic state, so they became complacent. The state will take care of madrasas, everything, so we don't have to be really involved and worried about it. And the Indian, when he went out, he said, yeah, I have to make it happen. If I don't struggle, then I'll get caught into the mainstream. If it's atheism, it's Christianity, it's Hinduism, then I'll get washed away. I must do something to retain and preserve my identity. So whether it was the learned or the illiterate, the pious or the impious, all felt the same, that we need to do something to preserve our identity. So that's how it got preserved. See? Like in our context, look at an Islamic school and a government school. The spirit of Islam in a government school will be much higher than the Islamic school. Because that Islamic school, if it's complacent, everything is Islam here. Bring out girls, talking, everything will be right. Why? Because it's Islamic. So he misconstrued the whole thing. He felt that the name secures your iman. The name doesn't secure it. The effort that goes with it, that is what secures you. The figure, the government school, I have to struggle. I have to work to maintain my identity. Someone speaks out against my religion, I'll stand up against him. So it's a challenge. When it's a challenge, then he has to stand up. I don't say send your children to school. Please do a comparison. Both are wrong, right? Because in the older schools, there's two or three elements that are quite distinct nowadays. Especially with the COVID, the element of indecency. Those that are in the school, they'll tell you, you can't control it. Whether Muslim or non-Muslim, but they can't control it. One person is in an Islamic school, this happened about 25-30 years ago. But up to now, I think of the person, and I'm amazed at his taqwa. So he is teaching at the Islamic school, the highest standards. Now he should be at least about over 50, but he's still handsome now. Now he's still handsome. So then 30 years ago, he must have been much more handsome. And the girls were flirting with him, trying to corner him, doing things. Then one day he just phoned up, with the blue, phoned me, say, well, you know what happened? They were trying all this thing here. They were forcing me. And I cried and made dua against them. And as I made dua, not even 1 hour passed, they met up in an accident, two died straight. So, he wasn't impressed with the acceptance of his dua. What concerned him, am I responsible for their death? I made dua against them, and not even 1 hour passed, accident, finished. See that? So that really caught me. Though he is in the wrong environment, but look at the level of his taqwa, his consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So I told him that you are not sinful, you handed the affair to Allah Ta'ala. When you pleaded to Allah Ta'ala, you assigned the affair to Allah Ta'ala, then it was in Allah Ta'ala's hands. You didn't shoot or You didn't use any other gadget to destroy them. You called on Allah Ta'ala to help you and rescue you against their snares and their plots. And then Allah Ta'ala did what he had to do. So you see this, there is that elements by the grace of Allah Ta'ala everywhere that are trying to preserve the original, getting away from the dilution, trying to preserve the original and moving away from the dilution. So you'll get that. لَا يَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمِينَ, the blind group. لَا يَدُرُّ مَّنْ خَذَلُهُمْ, if anybody forsakes them, it's not going to stop. I look at Tabi Jamaat, right? I know when 60s started, I was small, people are passing comments. One person used to say it Gujarati, lamba lamba jumba peri ne tabdi kara beta lage. But then he still became the bill workers. But you see, the comments, the criticism, nothing, didn't work. So that was the criticism. So Allah says, I'll keep on Jamaat. You must be lucky to be linked up to the Jamaat that's working to the revival of Deen, whichever way, reviving. So if you can't revive, then don't criticize. And I ask you, tell me one group that is faultless. Madrasa, Khanqa, Jihad. So if there's a fault here, there's a fault there as well. So then why single them out? In the Madrasa we know what goes on. Khanqa also we know some things. So then was there a need to single them out? Mistakes here, there's mistakes there. And I tell the people to make them understand. See, you've got a 4x4 shop, then you have a loss of 4N. But you've got a 4 million by 4 million shop, then you must expect to get 4 million losses. So the Jamaat work is not 2 people and 3 people. Millions this side, that side, one istima you see here, one istima, how many people count? So the loss will also be great. But then there is that blessings in the Jamaat, that there is someone to steer and correct them all the time. Like you see Mawai Ibrahim Dera Sahib, and he corrects them all the time. So what is this? That is having a bayan straight after the forest. Short sunnah and short day. 17 rakats in Isha namaz. 4 sunnahs, 4 forest, 2 sunnah, 2 nafil, witr and 2 nafil. Do that nicely. By now everybody, he's saying it openly. Do all the namaz, then join the program. Now he's shortcutting this, all the sunnahs and the mustab is left out, and engaging people only in the bayan, is that the right thing? So he's saying it, so there is someone is a miscreant, someone to write, put it right. Now just today his email came, but what is this? We're stopping people from the sunnah etikaf, going Jamaat. The Jamaat was to revive the sunnah, not to suppress the sunnah. But he spoke out clearly. See, la yadurru, nobody would be able to disrupt them. So if there is a mistake, then there'll be someone to come and attend to it straight. So he's the leader out today, and he points out the mistakes, these are mistakes, and you need to attend to it. But he doesn't feel, at that age now, I think, I wonder if you see the lunar year, he must be about 100. Huh? But does he try to say it? He doesn't try. لا يخافون في الله لومة اللائم. He says the خروج مقصود نہیں, openly says it. It's not just coming out. Get yourself right. That's the whole idea. But now he speaks about it clearly. لا يخافون في الله. That's a proof of it being right. There are those that are working, there are those that are attending, there are those that are correcting. Right? So every group will have some discrepancy. So anyway, we're talking of Muhaddis Abdul Haqq Rahmatullahi. And I just branched off. showing the contribution, the Indian contribution. Yeah. With all the Hindu prejudices, they still can't carry on. If they can't do so much, then Pakistan is compensating. Is it? Pakistan is compensating, Bangladesh is compensating. How? Where are you going to stop it? That dini work is like a balloon, you know. If you press it one side, it will blow it up the other side. You're not going to press it right through. Can't, nobody can do it. Allah Pak takes it on himself. I will preserve it. So it will go. Do what you want. Nobody, the pressing it this side, and then you see Kazakhstan, all that, and the amount of work that's taking place, you feel, really you feel envious, you know. 500 jamaats coming. So the istima from that area, 10,000, 15,000 people coming to the old workers in Raivin. Don't you have the stories? And whereas, they just started now, I think last about 15 years, 20 years. Just that, and the way going by storm. So you're pressing it this side, it's coming up that side. So the right thing is, don't worry about that, just join it. Join if you know what's your luck, then just join. Anyway, not doing it the skill here. But I'm showing the facts as they appear. One is a madrasa or a khanqa. You would definitely need that. That is like a specialized work, right? The very subtle and very refined masail, these people will know. And more or less, the structure of Islam that everybody knows, they will go and promote it. So you need someone to prepare and you need someone to propagate. Right? See, like in war, you need someone to manufacture and then someone to pass on those. Isn't it? If there's nobody to manufacture, what are you going to pass on? So one is a little bit more specialized and one is generalized. Right? So for about 100 GPs, you need about 3 specialists. Isn't it? That's a proportion. You can't say you need 100 specialists and 3 GPs. No. You know, it works on a supply and demand. What's the demand? Supply accordingly. The greatest need is water and how freely available. Before water, the greater need was air. And everything is free. So that's the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Need and Allah Pak supplies. So anyway, we're talking of Muhaddis Abdul Haq Rahmatullahi. He's in Medina Munawara. And he's blessed that he sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi every day. You get that souls also. Every day they are blessed seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now you don't try to do all these things, right? And we too much of Durusim I must see. It's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. Who he wants to give, he'll give. I just said that you don't base your religion by experiences and feelings. Yes. You will base it on the Sunnah. What is the adherence to the Sunnah? Are you holding firm to the Sunnah? Sunnah, and this morning I spoke about the adab. Right. So that you gauge it by the adherence to the Sunnah and the adab. So whoever practices it, he will win. Madrasa practices it, Khanqa practices it, Jihad practices it, or Jamaat practices it, they'll win. Right. It's left to the individual, you hold to it. You can't say, no, hey, this Jamaat will like that, the Madrasa will like that. What are you doing about the whole thing? There will be that miscreants. In any work there will be. But what are you doing? Are you just a spectator and giving your comments? Or are you getting into the work? I must do it, right? They are doing it. Let me get involved. Let me do it the right way. But now just to pass remarks and comments, it's very easy. Nothing easier than that. Our Qari Tayyib Sahib should say, the easiest work is to give bayans. Easiest work. So you learn about, say, 20 bayans. Then You can use that 20 brands for 2 years also. Because you have a roster rotating this masjid, that masjid. People won't know what Overpot spoke about. Overpot won't know what Stengel spoke about. Same thing is this revolt, the thing. So turn 20 brands and just maybe just adjust the introduction, and then you've got a brand going. So the easiest is giving a brand. This is an observation of our quality of Sabrathai. Then, the second work that is difficult is to teach the Kitab, you know. Because the one that is teaching the Kitab, if he doesn't prepare himself the last night, the previous night, he can't deliver. He must go through it nicely, and then he'll be in a good position of delivering. Right? And then the most difficult work is of a Mufti. Because he has to look at three things. He has to research the masala, right? See the context. See, you know, it's the context. So, you get this case coming all the time now. He tried to his wife, go and fly kite. Now that, does it work, does it amount to a talaq or not? So the Mufti have to see the context that he was said in. He can't just say, it's talaq, no. You see the context. Right? Then, he has to relate at the level of the questioner. The person is asking now, so what is his level of understanding? First, research it. Number two, then look at the context. Number three now, adjust it to that person's level of understanding. How are you going to say it? Right. So his work is the most difficult. And he says, the easiest work, what is the easiest work? The easiest work is to raise objections. But why is this table, why is it green? Why not blue? He says, usme to hunar ki zarurat nahi hai, balki behunari ki zarurat hai. Kare sahab was approximate. Then you don't have to be a talented person. What you need to be is untalented. Now just to raise an objection on the table, right, on the desk, 10 sawal you can put. But why is it so broad and this one not so broad? Why is it blue? Why is it so high? What do you need? You can carry, you can hold the Quran Sharif in the hand. You need to put all these things. So you can raise up 10 objections. And you need to be untalented to do this last job. So some people have made that their business just to go on raising objections. But no active participation. They won't do it. The other person that is doing it, somehow they'll try and run him down. So they're not doing, but the person that is doing, then just discourage him. Somehow discourage him. In this, about 1930s somewhere, 1920s, 30s, there's a major war in India, you know. So, one Muslim was hurt and incapacitated. Around him all bodies strewn around, you know, all side, that side. Now it's coming on to about Maghrib time. He's lying there, he's incapacitated, he can't move because he's shot somewhere there and he can't move. And there's bodies all around him and it's now Maghrib time. Ab raat guzarna hai, raat kis tarah se guzare? To spend the night. So he saw on Lala Ji. Lala Ji is Hindu, people that work with gold and money and all that, lenders, how you get banks, sharks, all that. So now the temptation for wealth is irresistible. They can't resist. They can't resist. Like, you know, it's a makeup. They can't resist that. So he's telling that Lala Ji, Arey Lala Ji, mere kamar pe sone ke sikke. I got some gold coins around my belt. He said, unless you got freed, dead man is talking. But then the greed had the better over him. Hey, but this, if I miss this opportunity there, if there's gold there, and I miss the opportunity, then, hey, sona hai, why? There's gold here. So, very, very afraid, he came near the person, tried to operate. He took his sword and just flipped it one time, incapacitated him. Why? What is your business? Why do you do this? So he spells the truth. He says, see, it's evening time, right? All bodies are strewn around here. I would have spent this whole night alone. So I incapacitated you, so at least I got a sati to spend the night. So the Lalaji is swearing him, na khud karta hai, aur na kisi ko karne deta hai. You don't do anything, and the person that is doing is active, you incapacitate him also. So let us not be of that category, that we don't do, and someone is doing something, then you try and smash him down. I say, is that fair? Not fair. He's doing something, alright? Maybe he's a little broken, but he's trying. In Darul Deoband, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib brother came with a Mewati Jamaat in the early 30s somewhere. So Hazrat instructed one of the old Mewatis, you stand up and give a bayan. Now in these people in the old days, there are a lot of respect, elders, ulama, but the respect was proverbial. So he stood up now, he's speaking down Deoband amongst ulama, in the 30s, great ulama at that time. Great people, right? So he says, see, I'm not in a position to address ulama. I'm an illiterate person, can't even read and write. But a Hazrat has asked me to speak. There's a man, and he's got two sons. One is capable, strong, can do things. And the other one is small, very small, 4 or 5 years of age. So the father says, see that that ghee container made of clay, you know, clay pot, that ghee container, just bring it here. So the big son says, hey, I'm too busy, I've got my own business to attend to. You're going to sort yourself out. Now the small child, the father wants this thing here. And it won't be right that we just ignore the father altogether. Right? So he went out to try and help out the father getting that clay pot full of ghee. Now remember, I remember when we were small, like a ghee was like a very, very precious thing. It was original ghee. Now everybody's got it. Right? Then it was a very precious commodity. So the small child, he went to lift it up. In the process, he bust the thing. Well, it can be recovered, but a good amount will be wasted as well. So now, the father, who is he going to hold responsible? The big son or the small son? Ji? The big son. So that Mewati is telling the ulama, see, we are that small children, and you are the adult, grown-up, intelligent people. You're not going to take it, we're going to do it, mess up things, you'll be responsible. We're saying that, Mewati is saying, see. So, we need to learn to acknowledge, respect, cooperate, help out. Nicely, lovingly, you can make things happen. You can make, but that initiative, all right, how can I do it, what must do, how to do it. Yesterday one youngster, he had his trouser below his ankle, right? So they don't know, they don't know about Islam. They were new, so they don't know. So Mu'ayyah went, nicely, respectfully, showed him, see, that trousers were... That youngster accepted it wholeheartedly, said, I didn't know about it. Jazakallah for the correction. But can't we have that approach, right? A loving, nice, kind approach. How we would like to be addressed, they address the next person. No, nothing like being racial, and no color distinction, right? But now, we're all living in the Islam, in the house of Islam. When we're all living in the house of Islam, aren't we all enjoying from Islam? Huh? Aren't we enjoying? We're sitting in the Etiqah, right? No board, right? We're paying any boarding, lodging, nothing. No boarding, no lodging, right? Right? You got 3 meals a day, right? Nothing to pay, and only Allah Ta'ala to obey. See that? It isn't happening. You took one step, and Allah Ta'ala says, I'll embrace you. See that? It's about you just took some initiative, and how Allah Ta'ala appreciates that. Can't be seen with the eyes. Anywhere in the world you can get that. No board, no laws, nothing. And only Allah Ta'ala to obey, that's all. And you just obeyed Allah Ta'ala, and how Allah opens the treasures. Today is the nuri chicken, tomorrow is butter chicken. Well, I tell you the menu every day. Was the kabza. Today was kabza. I'm glad you also. But how Allah spoils you, right? A little bit initiative you take when you're in the 21st century or 15th century Islam, and how Allah spoils you. Can't you see these things? That little bit you're doing, something you're doing for Islam, for deen. And let it be an environment of love. What? Love, kindness and love. We can't get things done with love and kindness. At home and out of home. My one relative, Johannesburg, passed away now. But you can do things with love and respect. So sometimes you see now the ladies getting involved in panchayat and givat, right? So now, very nice person, very dignified, respectable person. Say, hey, leave all that now. Just jump in the car. So you take that 5 aunties there. Say, we'll go buy an ice cream. So just nicely, then say, hey, don't get involved in panchayat and givat and this type of talks. The good that you've done all get wiped out. But can't we do it in a little bit of kindness, a little bit of a loving way, right? A little bit of understanding that they got some wrong things in them. But now how do we bring them on track? How do we bring them on course? So there are ways that you can do, and you can do with dignity. You can do it in an unrefined way as well. Al-Mu'ad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi I was supposed to talk about Mahabul Haq Sahib Dehlavi some other time, inshallah. So he is in, came for some work in Delhi, and the big Urus is taking place in Nizamuddin Awliya. Urus and Sima Kawali are taking place. So some of the Kawali Urus people, they knew Mullah is around, so they came to see him. Mullah was very refined, polished, very refined. So, there's a Mullah, but why aren't you coming to the Urus and Sima Qawwali? He said, I don't think I'm eligible. If you are eligible, can there be any person that's eligible? But Mullah, why you say that you aren't eligible? He said, because Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, you know, I was once in that, first time I went to Nizamuddin station. So I was just asking someone, and Sikh I asked about Nizamuddin, the station or something. I asked the Sikh for the station at Nizamuddin. He said, Be adab kahi ke, ye kehna chahiye Hazrat Nizamuddin. Even that kafir, he got so much of respect. That kafir. So one says, see, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi, he gave five conditions that you can, with those five conditions you can participate. And if you don't have those five, then you can't participate. One is, that person must be a grown-up man, not a young boy, with girlish features. Mustn't be a girl, and mustn't be a youngster with girlish features. Number two, the contest must be only about Allah Ta'ala and His Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number three, it mustn't be accompanied with any type of musical instruments. Number four is the listeners also must be the same. Right? Number five is, if I remember correctly, if it's namaz time, must stop everything from the azan. Now, I feel I'm not eligible. I don't pass those conditions. So that bidati, he asked Mullah, you know, Mullah, definitely you are eligible, but we aren't eligible. Mullah, you see, I will go there, if I'm afraid, I will hurt the ruh of the awliya. Because the awliya saying, don't do this thing here, and I'm defying them, so won't the ruh be increased? So then he turns around and says, Mullah, you know, you made tabligh and amar bil ma'ruf in such a way that was unprecedented. Nobody spoke to us in this way. Dignity, respect, you maintained the decor, the nobility and respect. But nobody spoke to us like that. So there is a way to address situation, but just that then you have to jog your mind. I need to do this thing here. How must I do it? Is this location? What must be the choice of my words? What is the class of people that I am working with? How to get it right? So that takes some type of strain on the mind. Allah Bakhna us all to figure.